CosmicRadio.tv. Welcome to Jump Point. We'll talk the gamut of gaming topics. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas, joined by
Charles.
And
I'm Michael.
And it's good to have you back again. We were supposed to have Rosa on, but she actually had to come back from a trip and sadly could not be with us today. But that's fine. This is the RTX crew, as we're going to call it now.
If anyone's watching live, do not look into Charles' nipples of the future.
Charles' nipples of the future?
Where are you, really, really, really big man?
Yeah.
Do you remember Rock's Modern Life, really, really big man?
Yes.
Yeah, really, really big man. Yes. Stare into my nipples of the future.
Yeah,
what was his thing?
Yeah, well, there was the chest hairs of the was it the present?
I can't remember.
It was the nipples of the future. It was like chest hairs of the present.
And
back when I watched the show, I didn't have chest hairs.
I need to rewatch it.
So that's because you were of eight. Yeah, but that kind of stuff.
I have it on my hard drive somewhere.
We all. Yeah, I have.
He said hard again.
It's okay.
God damn it.
Before we get into kind of talking this week, because this week
laugh every time someone says hard.
Because this week we are going to talk.
We're making this hard.
This week is not going to be hard.
We're going to talk video games.
Yeah, we are going to talk video games.
It's really hard for Roberto to talk over us.
Well, because you guys just keep talking about fucking...
Okay. Everyone, okay.
Focus. Okay, focus, guys.
Focus.
We're done with RTX.
Yes.
We're fresh off it. We're now actually in a week of stuff. Things have happened.
We're
everything's
regenerized.
So we're actually going to talk gaming news and gaming topics, all that. Before we get into that, though, what is everyone playing? I know what you've been playing.
Oh,
I want to kick it to you already.
I haven't been playing anything. Just a second.
the
Raiders are attacking. The Raiders are.
So in the interim, I should explain this.
My friend got everyone killed in his.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, in the interim of us being on the podcast,
Crack came out.
Crack came out for Android, and that crack is Fallout Shelter. Basically, the boys there at Bethesda Studio released the Android version. Yes. Of Fallout Shelter,
and I can't stop playing
because you've been like waiting.
I uninstalled it once.
it's already come to that point.
I installed it from my phone, and it popped up on my tablet. I don't know who installed it.
Oh my god, it's at that point now where you have to uninstall it.
I did on my phone.
Oh no!
No! It's back. I'm saying it's back.
It came back somehow.
No, that's a bad sign.
Yes.
because these are mobile.
I have not spent any money.
That's, okay, good. That's good. That's a good sign.
Now my wife, she spent some money. She spent some money she earned from Google ad rewards or whatever.
So it means you did spend money because it's your stuff.
Yeah. No, it's free money that she got. Free money.
It's yours though.
And she has deleted that vault. So it's so easy to just throw money away in this game.
Jesus Christ.
And she was throwing a fit because there's a point where I forget what attack, Deathclaw just came in
massacred
12 people in her freaking vault.
Yeah, Deathclaws ain't in the normal Fallout game, Deathclaws aren't anything to fuck with. I can only imagine in the casual game how much they just fucking rule.
The mole rats are decimate you, especially like I have no weapons. Anyways, I've been playing that game. It's freaking addicting. Even though you play for 10 minutes, you've experienced the entire game.
My friend got his entire vault killed because somehow there's a radiation leak he couldn't take care of.
Really?
He didn't have enough caps to take care of it.
I know.
And so everyone
really
just
annoying.
Died.
For me, I...
Does the game reset if everybody dies?
I think so.
I forget. Cool. Yeah, I haven't checked my vault in like the longest time. I kept
everyone's... Well, actually not...
I didn't touch it because I knew this was going to happen.
Well, because I have the... Again, I got the iOS version, got it on launch, everything out. Like, it's fine.
Look at my Apple superiority. It's Charles is quite pantomimes.
He stands over me with this raging erection. It's like... You ain't got this... You can't have this.
Look at my Steve Jobs.
Finally, my closed marketplace has its advantage. Finally, I defeat Google Play in one fail swoop.
In one fail Fallout swoop.
But ultimately, when it came out, it was a fun game and whatnot. I'd be scared now to go back to it because there's death claws and like way more challenges.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous.
And it was already to the point of like, I don't... Because this is the game that you play on the shitter. You know, this is a mobile, you know.
No, they've made this game. It's not a normal builder. You can sit and just have it run for, I mean, granted, it gets to a lull where not much is happening. But unlike those other builder games where it's like, come back in 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then your donuts will be ready or whatever.
Talking about the Simpsons tab.
Yeah, screw that.
I remember that.
I never played
that one. And it's basically that, yeah.
My wife played that
one. Because the beauty part about this game that I liked about it when I first played it was that it had the whole like hurry up feature, that there's this like risk that it fails. Yes.
And it is not 30% my butt typically. it is a flipping a coin, or it's even worse than that.
I've had ones where it's gotten out of 50, where it's gotten to 50%, because it's like what's so funny about that like speed up button, when it succeeds, you're just like, yes.
Oh, it's definitely gambling.
Do I take the chance? Do I take the chance? No. I need the energy. I need the food. Yeah, fuck it.
I see that. It's, yeah, and if you, and if it fails, then you are.
Then it's like
it's even worse.
It's like rad roaches are coming in,
or fire, or
radiation leak.
A lot of radiation.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
And everyone becomes Hulks.
It's taken over. No, that'd be nice, but
no. That would be actually cool. Would actually be cool if everybody, if you started getting actually like you start ghoulifying people, like within the fall.
People mention it. They're like, oh, I wish I was a ghoul.
Well, yeah, because ghouls essentially in the Fallout universe, they're actually people who have been exposed to radiation.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't die, that somehow hit the magical point of like hitting this weird eternal living kind of thing, because they're like, you know, most people you meet are ghouls are actually people from the old world.
Wow.
In the game of Fallout. So I don't quite know when that flip happens, and no one quite, you know, never really explained like how you become a ghul and how you actually die.
Well, since it doesn't really happen in the real world, then
well, neither do rad roaches or giant death claws.
Actually, yeah, I saw a photo of a guy who got radiation from Hiroshima, and
that
burns, and he's lived like that his whole life. It's pretty awful.
Yeah,
I would not
recommend.
No, not at all.
Give yourself some eye bleach with like Tub Girl.
0 out of 10 recommending nukes.
Not at all.
That's my Yelp review of nukes.
All right, so you've been playing Fallout Shelter. What about you, sir?
I've still been playing my Dragon Ball phone game. As well as I have started a new game called Working Out. I would not recommend it.
Is that the one where you go outside?
Yeah, you gotta go outside.
Oh my gosh.
And then you gotta pay like an MMO fee. And it's a pain in the ass, and it's tiring.
It's very,
and
you have to grind a lot.
You gotta grind a lot. There's a lot of pay to win out there for items.
I don't know if there's pay to win it.
Oh, there is.
How do you pay? Well, I guess
it's illegal.
It's very illegal.
I guess it's a good point.
You can pay to win but it's illegal.
Just like in World of Warcraft.
It's also super illegal. And items are really expensive. You know,
I'd imagine.
With the water and the muscle milk that you don't technically need.
Would you say this is a hard game?
Well, it's hard as hell. It's way harder than Wii Fit.
That's great.
You got to interact with people. It's a pain in the ass.
See, me personally, I've been...
I'm very tired.
I'm playing New Vegas and finishing up Lonesome Road. I've been playing a lot of mobile games. I've almost, if I didn't have to pay my power bill today... I would have picked up Rocket League and gotten into that. I've been meaning to get a copy of that game.
That one sounds as bad as a Fallout Shelter for addictivity.
Yeah, a lot of people are really into that game.
Because the trick is that they did it because I guess Sony is like starting to become cool and Microsoft's getting that way too. They did the whole like, oh, you have a PS4 version? Oh, there's a PC version? Yeah, why don't you guys play together? That's cool.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's sort of the big
thing. I haven't touched it, though, yet.
Yeah, that's sort of the big thing is that you can
Sony
have...
Sony would be doing that over Microsoft?
Microsoft's getting there. Like, they're getting to the point where
they're going
to
be there late.
Well, they finally started with Killer Instinct.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, KI is supposedly the first thing they're doing with that. Where Sony had announced even before that they're going to do that with Street Fighter V.
Yeah, they're going to... Well, because Street Fighter V is one of those weird... Those games that's going to be... Like, when they announced that it was on the consoles exclusive to PS4 and PC total, that was I can't believe that was
a huge hit.
That was a huge, like, grab. I mean, as weird as it sounds, it was a big, big grab. But yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what they'll do with on the Xbox. Because now with Windows 10, it now has a lot more streaming. There is a lot more of a focus on... in Windows 10 for gaming and kind of that cross-platform.
No.
The thing that I wish they'd done from day one, it's one of those weird...
It's odd that it took them this long.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's one of those bizarre
things.
Like
they should have done this with the Halo like right away. The fact they didn't is amazing to this day.
It's strange for sure. I mean, I never quite... there's certain things I just never quite understood with it. But, I mean, you know, they've definitely got it done now, so I guess it's all... all working out and such. It's one of those weird things that I've just I'm right now changing it.
Well, one of the main rumors of Microsoft not entirely having Street Fighter V at all was that that Capcom might have told them that they wanted to cross-platform it kind of thing.
Right.
And that they were like, well, we don't really want to do that thing. Because at the time, like, yeah, they weren't announcing anything like that.
I just realized right now that I forgot to flip the stream into public mode. It was unlisted. So if you're just if you're just joining us now live, hi, welcome to Jump Point.
Hi. Hello.
But
hard.
Baymax.
Baymax.
That doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, let's get into kind of the news this week.
And speaking of Baymax, did you hear about the thing that happened
today?
Yes,
that was, I was about to say that, the breaking news. Did you see that?
No.
So this
Betamax is finally coming back.
No, not Betamax.
No. So,
that would be awesome.
No.
But,
so
same while, shorts.
Going on right now, as we're recording this, is the D21?
D23,
the big giant Disney event that they have, sort of the...
the Disney Expo.
Disney Expo, for lack of better words.
Okay.
And because, obviously, Disney has a gaming arm now, and a big
it's
one
huge.
At that.
That means they masturbate a lot.
Well, I'm saying, like...
A lot of Snow White comes out of it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't!
That was and good. Seven, not going
that
to
was
that.
Good.
Not finishing that one.
But anyways, the way that they showed, because, again, we obviously have... okay, what's their big play... their big, like, playset game?
Disney Infinity,
but that's not the point of this.
That's
one.
Not what we're talking about, though.
One of the other things they have, obviously, is their joint ventureship with Square Enix, specifically Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming to Kingdom Hearts 3?
Star Wars characters?
Betamax. I'm just kidding. No,
Baymax.
Yeah, it's Baymax and the Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6. There's going to be a Big Hero 6 area.
Interesting.
Which everyone was always wondering if Kingdom Hearts would put anything Marvel-related in there, and they put the most obscure possible thing they could have done.
I think that makes sense, though.
But it makes perfect sense because of who made that instead.
Right, I think that's the safest... Because the tricky part is this. I think that's the safest...
Oh, it's easily the safest.
The safest, because it gets...
You can separate it from Marvel very easily, because Disney never once was like, this is a Marvel property. They were just like, this is an animated movie that we made. Don't... Yeah. Pay any attention to where it came from.
They skewed it. You know, it actually works well in the universe.
In fact,
it's
better than its Marvel counterpart.
I'm about to say the same thing too, because it actually skewed more towards a kind of anime esque thing. Like, I think it happens in like Neo San Frantokyo or something.
Neo
like that.
San Francisco, Frantokyo.
Yes, Frantokyo. So it literally is this amalgamation of San Francisco, Tokyo, and the whole Neo kind of anime
thing. So what did they add? You're teasing me.
It's the Big Hero 6 characters.
Oh, yeah, so Baymax. You know,
what's the Marvel character?
Well there is a Marvel character.
Big Hero 6 is a Marvel property.
So, yeah. You didn't even know this.
See, I didn't even know that. That's why it's the safest bet, because you didn't know
that.
That
is fantastic. Yeah.
Because Big Hero 6 was a small kind of comic book that's like super obscure. Like, only like a handful of people I've ever met know what it is. Even I didn't really know what it was at the time. Like, Joseph Compton knows what it is better. What it was is that it was essentially like a team of like Japanese, like... They were kind of like secret agent kind of things, because they were hired to infiltrate like this high school or some shit.
Okay.
And then it was considered terrible. Just absolutely horrendous.
I bet it's worth a lot of money now.
And then the second counterpart of Big Hero 6 was a lot like a Japanese Avengers. Like, it even had the Silver Samurai in it at one point. But at the same time, it was like no one cared. So it was a property no one gave a shit about. And then they were like, we're going to make a movie off of this. And everyone who read Marvel was like, who?
Yeah, no, all about the same thing, too, is that it was a very strange flip thing in terms of stuff. It's one of those.
And it's great.
Points.
Like, it made everyone a likable enough character. And it's the most diverse group of characters I've seen in a movie in a long time. Because everyone is a different ethnicity, pretty much, in the entire movie. Like, no one is... Like, it's not just like, oh, it's just white people and Asian people. But, like, no, there's the main character. He's, like, Japanese. And then there's the black guy. And then there's the Mexican girl. And then there's the other white guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very...
But for real, like, everyone is, like, legitimately, like, something. It's not just like, oh, look at this group of, like... Fucking planeteers.
So the planeteers.
Not really, it's not full planeteers. Basically,
I'm a white guy from Brooklyn.
But it's actually really good. Like, it's a really good movie. It's a lot of fun. But this is actually really exciting to me.
Yeah. No. It was again. It is the safest bet, because while I know a lot of people would love to have the idea of, like, wouldn't it be amazing?
Would be awesome if
Spider-Man
got into a fight
with Sephiroth.
No.
I think that would be so
it's
dangerous.
Like, no, I don't think
it would
be
a
well.
Dangerous thing, especially because of how Like that crap.
Although I'd like to see Iron Man hang out with Scrooge McDuck.
Like while you know, you and I, like while you love comic books, you love anime, no. And while there are a good chunk of people that are like that, there are those people like, no, I don't want my I don't want my chocolate and my peanut butter.
There's some things and like the Marvel animes are weird. Like, have you ever watched any of those?
What do you mean?
Marvel had created a series of different animes based off of their characters, and like 90% of them are terrible. Like, they're just not watchable, basically. The Iron Man one was okay. The X-Men one I heard was actually not bad. The Wolverine one I heard was horrendous. The same with the Blade one. And they've made a bunch of other animated movies based off of it with the same kind of animation. Like, one of them was like a Black Widow Punisher one, and I heard it was awful. I just heard it was horrendous. I was I didn't want to touch any of them because like anime and comics are great, but when you fuse the two and they don't know what they're doing, then you got a problem. Which is why even me as a guy would be like, oh, I'd love to see, you know, Spider-Man get into a fight with somebody from Final Fantasy. At the end of the day, they're not going to know what to do with it.
Right, right. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make is that
I don't know what to do with it.
No, and that's sort of the thing is like I'm okay with Square like fooling with Disney stuff, not because of it being bad or good. I'm actually happy that they are because they've proved with Kingdom Hearts they know what they're doing with.
It works.
I think they could do it with Marvel, like in terms of storyline, it'd be fine. I think what the risk is that there are people who take this shit way too seriously.
Yeah, they're very much so.
And we've already, and if the Marvel movies are any indication, or the DC movies are any indication of people taking shit way too fucking seriously and getting to the point of like that, that's a very dangerous situation to be in for Square Enix right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and plus all that same time, because Big Hero 6, in terms of the US release, has a very skewed kind of anime look and Japanese kind of feel.
It's it very makes easy it to sense. Mix it together
yeah.
than it would be, say, you know, anything Captain America related.
Right, exactly. It fits in. I think it fits in perfectly in that in world. And having a Japanese company handle that, it's already, you know, Big Hero 6 is already kicked off.
They probably
like
instantly fell in love with the whole
right,
thing.
Right, yeah.
They're probably like, look at all this cool stuff. Like, because there's a lot. Like, have you ever looked at the Big Hero 6 art book?
Yeah, I think I said
there's
some,
so
yeah.
much stuff they didn't use.
Yeah.
That they could easily have just been like, hey, you want to use this thing that we were thinking about kind of thing? Like, there's the craziest thing. There's an enemy they wanted to put in the movie. It was a kamikaze kind of like flying group of jetpack people that were mariachis.
That sounds incredibly racist.
No, but there were kamikaze that were basically
were just straight up
mariachis. No, there right. was
okay.
no, but that was the crazy thing. They were mixing things like as much as possible.
They're picking the worst stereotypes they can.
But these were all just like if you see them, they're like really cool. Like there's all these great designs for other
kamikaze
characters.
Kamikaze mariachis does not sound cool
to
me.
That sound awesome. That sounds amazing, doesn't it?
It does
I think
sound
that sounds
awesome.
Amazing.
They're suicide bombing.
By the way, the chat room Mexican says, man. Brant in the chat room says that he really likes how the fact that where you're sitting, Michael, because if you look at the video, it looks like you were the jump point logo is your party hat.
It does, actually.
But yeah, like that was also
Kamikaze
part of, that was also part of the news. We actually have our Pinterest board to kind of remind us as to what's gone on because it's been.
I just had to bring that out because I found it out today.
No, and I did too. I was going to pin that
because that's
as well.
Huge. Like, yeah, that's first a Kingdom Hearts news I've heard in a while.
Well, because all we had at E3 was like, oh, by the way, we're
all
still
this cool shit.
We're working on it still. You know, we're not done. We're still working on it. We have all
there.
Hands on deck.
We swear.
yes, Final Fantasy 15 still in the process too. Oh, by the way, we mentioned we're making a Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Please
love us. We're
please
Square.
Love us.
please make
your money.
Please love us again. We're Square Enix. We make good stuff. We're not like Capcom. We're not abandoning your childhood.
We're not just making Tomb Raider.
We're not Konami. We're not completely crushing your dreams.
We're not doing Kane and Lynch 2 again.
That'd be amazing.
Fucking Kane and Lynch 2, which is a terrible fucking game.
But also, they also announced and talked about Nintendo actually got in with a little bit more detail with the DNA deal, which I was excited for because I've been playing on the mobile phone all the time. Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which is a mobile game done by DNA and Square Enix. And it's, you know, it's a mobile game with all the mobile trappings, but it at least respects the property a lot. And so I've been really excited to hear all those details and kind of those things out. Because, like, I mean, right now, we're not quite in the wasteland yet because games are starting to come out. But we're, you know, in my brain, I'm still on the March to November.
Yes, everybody is.
Like that's where my brain is.
Man, can't wait for Tomb Raider.
Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing you do Tomb Raider. That actually looks like a fun.
I will be playing that.
I'm actually counting the days till September 1st. Actually,
what's with you?
Metal Gear Solid 5.
That's the other big thing.
And Mad Max, which is another one that is iffy.
That's the other big one is Metal Gear Solid 5.
It looks good, but it could go either way for Mad Max. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5, I have all the faith in the world for.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
That one looks like it's going to be bonkers bananas.
Oh, it's going to be the most insane Kojima can possibly put into a single game.
I've been following
Hideo.
It's like, what are you going to do, fire me?
Exactly.
Yeah, God, that is...
like, I've already spent all the money.
That is like... is it weird that's going to probably be like the last hurrah? In terms of, a decent Metal Gear Solid game.
The fact that they announced an erotic, Castlevania pachinko machine.
Did they already do it?
Like a month ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, my friend sent it to me.
Mm,
and I was like, it shows that we're fucked.
Finally.
He's going to come out with some kind of Kickstarter for...
Well, Kojima will do fine. Somebody's going to pick him up.
Oh, yeah. No, Kojima is going to be fine. He's either going to kickstart something or something will happen.
Someone's
going to
pick him up.
Ghetto Gear Rock Hard.
Ghetto Gear Rock Hard.
Speaking Kojima, poor Guillermo del Toro.
Oh.
Did you see that thing?
I saw the video.
Guillermo finally just was like, fuck it. I don't want to touch games.
I don't think he's good. I think he's still going to touch games.
He wants. It's just that he feels really bad because he feels like a bad luck.
I think he'll probably not. You know, because he also had other points in that video as well, talking about how TV, and cinema, he made a very specific point to say, I'm not talking about independent cinema.
Yeah.
I think what that means is that, because I know he's like, I'm not going to touch video games. I think this
means
he's not going to touch AAA games again.
He's just having a hard time with the big system of anything.
Yeah.
He's been trying to get so many different projects off the ground every once in a while.
That's basically
what I'm
saying.
And then it always just goes horribly wrong for him. So he feels like a bad luck tool kind of thing. So he's just like, well, if something happens, it's going to be something that's not really big. Because every time he's touched something really big, he's gotten very rare chances of success. Like, Pacific Rim is a freak of nature right now, thanks to China. China, ate that shit up, in seconds.
Well, the Pacific Rim in general ate that shit up.
America's audience were like, what the fuck is this? Where China was like, give us everything.
Well,
give us
What's beautiful about this kind of global economy, we talk about movies all the time and in other kind of podcasts we do. A lot of people always write off, China in terms of money.
It's
in terms of like a movie, like, oh, who cares about the international budget?
People used to, but now it's like every studio is doing their best
Iron Man 3 that did?
It's Iron Man 3.
Did what?
Has those random Chinese scenes in it.
There's actually scenes in Iron Man 3 that didn't play in the theater here in the stateside.
Oh, okay.
You can get on the Blu-ray or DVD to watch it now, but that were
specifically... you can just watch it on YouTube really
easily. They were specifically tailored for the Chinese audience.
And they're weird. They add nothing to the entire movie.
No, of course not. But they showed Hong Kong, and because they showed Hong Kong, they got a tax write-off.
The best part is that it's obvious that none of it has anything to do with anything Robert Downey Jr. related. It's just a dude in an Iron Man suit talking to this random Chinese dude.
Is that why they did that in The Dark Knight?
Yeah, that's exactly... No, that's you joke, but that's absolutely right.
In fact, it's the reason... which movie was it? The World War Z, right?
Yeah.
There's a part where it was originally supposed to take place... a certain part was supposed to take place in Russia, but China was like, let it have it happen here, and we'll give you all the money. And
yeah.
So they had to rewrite
weird
chunks of it.
Mm-hmm.
The same with fucking those Transformer movies.
Yep.
I think it's the fourth one? They're just randomly in Hong Kong or something at some point. They're like, we're in Texas. Now we're in Hong Kong, because fuck it.
Yeah. No,
that's sure, that happens all the time now.
Yeah, well, again, it's all where you...
No, it happens with games now, because Homefront. Homefront's enemy was supposed to be China originally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then they were like, well, China's like, well, we'll pay for part of it if you don't fucking do that.
It's like, yeah, wow. That's why it became North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
Because it's like, well, North Korea doesn't... Everyone hates
North Korea. North Korea, they're not going to fuck with us.
Even China doesn't quite understand how North Korea...
Exactly.
You don't typically think
North
of a
Korea
country having
North
a
Korea's
PR
there.
Department,
well,
but
have,
it sounds
like
they
do. Well, because China's...
China's very much has a PR.
China's is weird
very into
sort
PR,
of thing
they're
in terms of... Yeah, they're communists.
They're communists.
But they love that capitalist money.
Yeah,
they love it. They
want to look good real badly. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. You know, it's a surprisingly a really interesting kind of point.
Also, China, if you're watching, we'll totally do whatever you want.
yeah, China,
oh, just give us that money, bro.
Hey, consoles are coming to China now, so maybe
yeah,
just
consoles,
maybe just maybe we can
finally
to,
lifted that ban.
We can have our review of like free to play Chinese games.
I really hope stuff starts coming over to the States because I just want Chinese. I look forward to
whatever comes
weird
up with.
Thing they can throw our way. I'm sure. There's a lot of people out there with creativity in China that we can get some cool indie games or just some cool...
If China lets them.
sweet, sweet capital money if they can export it.
I don't know, man. China's pretty... really iffy on what they let go nowadays. Yeah.
But last week we also like missed a lot of Gamescom news. And that. One of the things that I think you pinned was an EA exec...
Oh gosh!
Talking about your favorite, my personal favorite thing on the planet.
Yeah, that's why I did it because it's your favorite thing.
My first favorite thing on this DLC. I have a weird. You know, I have nothing against DLC. Like, my first.
I'm nothing against normal DLC.
Normal DLC, but that. Loved how he.
It's not DLC if it's all the discs.
So you read this article then, right?
Sure.
Okay. I was asking. I mean, I did too, but I was making sure because you got the point of it. Because ultimately, the argument he made.
It's just bits, right?
Well, no, the argument he made was this, is that and normally I would say if we were in a world like the problem right now is we're fastly approaching the Microsoft world that they had promised us at the beginning of the Xbox release, but some people had promised or threatened. promised.
Okay.
That we're approaching, but then of the Rebel Alliance, so to speak, said, "No, Empire, we want our physical media."
We shot some womp rats.
For the record, I was part of the Rebel Alliance on that one.
That's okay. That's fine. I was part of the Empire. I was kind of
flying the Millennium Falcon the whole time.
I was part of the. Here's the question: When's the last time you bought a used game?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
Not last week. It was when I bought Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. At least you're
legitimately buy it. Why do you think I was part of the Rebel Alliance, bro?
I don't know, because some people I don't think really were part of that.
Ask me the last time I bought a digital game. A year ago.
I'm the entire opposite. I have not bought a physical
game. I'm a physical guy.
I
love physical copies of things.
My Steam collection is sad.
I went out of my way to find a physical copy of Max Payne 2, in 2009.
I'm going to be buying Shovel Knight
with all of its stuff
when it comes out physical.
But that's a different story. I'll buy
that. Yeah, that is kind of a different story.
But I will buy fucking anything that's digital. It's coming to the point now that like I get angry at Blizzard games that their deluxe digital doesn't have any of the behind the scenes stuff, and I have
that
to
is
buy
unfortunate
the bullshit thing because I don't really want the physical bullshit thing. I don't want it anymore. I have space.
Well, Ben gets a lot of those, and they come with real nice statues.
No,
a lot
they're
of the
great.
Time.
They're amazing collector's edition stuff. This is not me slamming the collector's edition. I think they're perfectly fine. I just don't want it anymore.
That's fine.
I don't have space for shit anymore.
I bought the limited edition of Injustice.
Yeah.
And now I have a statue that I don't have nothing to do with.
Right. That's sort of the thing is that I don't have shit for it. I don't have room for it anymore.
You should see my cousin's house, dude. Holy shit. There's so much stuff in that place. Like, he's bought every collector's edition of, like, whatever he wants half the time.
But yeah.
It's great, though.
But ultimately, the argument that the EA exec makes is essentially, and this is the argument he makes, is that. I'll read his exact quote because it's actually – I mean if in terms of a logic, it actually – I think it kind of makes sense. I think it might be a little skewing of it that he goes, more compared the bits of DLC that are found on some game discs to scaffolding put in place to support the actual downloadable product when it's ready. Think of them as API, knowing down the road that something needs to sit on – you know, basically the idea that the things on the disc are sort of these big chunks, whatever. I think that makes sense. In a world where we didn't have broadband anymore,
the problem I have with that is that Capcom said the exact same thing about Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I know,
and then everyone immediately called them on their bullshit by hacking the game to let them just use them with whatever's on the disc.
I know. Ultimately, the point of my big issue with that argument is that you know, while yes, you don't buy game like while you do not buy games digitally. You know the trend is going that way, like you know.
Like hell, I have the digital copy, or not digital. I have the physical copy of Arkham Knight, but yet there's still a gigantic like gig somewhat to install of
like,
some kind.
Like I got a friend of mine, my friend Mario,
it took like 2 hours.
Like, he bought he is now I've started convincing him on his PS3 to start going towards that route, and he recently purchased the HD I guess version of X and Final Fantasy X and X II. And ultimately, he was surprised big download, but it's blue or whatever. When we had the days of discs and downloading was hard and crazy,
at the time, it was huge.
Fine, makes sense. You have to set. It's a bit hard to send a 200, a 2 gig video file.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Yeah, it's much easier.
Well, only because even if a lot of these consoles, even if they do
and
have
a lot of consoles, have added more features to it to let you as I was playing the DC Universe Online, I had to download it on there. It's like a 22 gig file. But it's like, just set it into rest mode, and it'll just download while you're asleep.
Right, and that sort of thing, yeah.
Whereas the consoles prior to that, not a lot of them had. Like, the PS3, to play DC Universe Online on that, it had this giant install thing that was downloading that wouldn't count as it playing it, so it would just turn off midway.
Yeah.
Which was a motherfucker.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that when I read the argument, I understood where he was coming from. I don't think we live in that world anymore. Like, because if it comes down to the point now, we're going to come to a point where there's not going to be on-disc DLC because there's not going to be a disc anymore, and we're not going to know it's there.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah,
I was part of that little Rebel Alliance, but even I know I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
I know eventually it's going to get to the point where I can't have physical copies of things.
Right.
And because, in fact, it's already kind of starting out. Like, the Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition. There's no physical copy of that. Yeah. I have to buy it digitally on my PS4 kind of thing.
And it ultimately now, and again, I get where the fear is. The fear, of course, is that Microsoft hasn't really proved itself to have things like sales or have things like that. But I think we're getting to the point now where you even have Sony kind of being aggressive on their digital storefront. And I think that's where Microsoft has to kind of, follow point and such.
It's just that Microsoft, the way they worded it when they first announced all their digital stuff, it sounded like what Charles said, a threat.
Yeah. What do you think of all this, Charles? What's your take on this? Like, do you feel that we need just to still have this sort of do you think on-disc DLC is even a need now? I ask you because I know you're not much of a console gamer. You're more on the PC side these days. And so you don't even deal with half the stuff.
It's such a weird thing because I'm also, I collect retro games from my childhood. It's such a weird world where I'm okay paying, X amount for a digital game on Steam. But if it's on a console, it feels dirty. I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like if I don't own the physical copy, I'll never have it again.
Right.
I know exactly what he means, actually.
It's just like, I don't understand why one part of my brain's okay buying a digital indie game on my PC, but I really don't like buying digital games, especially 60. I may just never justify spending $60 on a digital game.
Yeah, I couldn't do that myself.
I understand why. Because again, we've had do you remember the days of the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
You have.
Yeah, I have mine. Yeah. I still buy games for it to this day.
Like, games back then cost sometimes $90.
Yes.
They're pricey sons of bitches.
Pricey motherfuckers.
We've got a point now where we've kept it at $60, and yet things have inflated. We now have voice actors to pay. We have mocap to render. We have all this kind of shit to go on.
I always think that shouldn't be our problem.
No.
But they're putting it on the gamer. Because we want to make something that we're going to put so many resources into so we can make this $60 experience more than the other $60 experiences that you have, that we need to recoup some of our costs. No. You just need to learn. You just need to do some better math before you plan it out. Let's just make a $60 game instead of let's make a $60 game engine that we can throw in $30 worth of DLC.
I will say this. I have nothing against I personally have nothing against DLC.
I have nothing against DLC either. It's just on-disc DLC is what I have.
For me, my big, and I realize it's such a weird dichotomy because I get what it is. And I get the fear is that it's like, well, they're locking content away. It's things that should be on the disc. And we're now approaching a time in terms of gaming, in terms of distribution. This is why indie games are able to come into this sphere that they wouldn't have normally. that digital distribution is the is becoming the norm.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming the, it was a complete weird thing of like, really? They're going to let you still use physical discs? Like, I find it weird when I see it now because I, like, for, like, one of the big things that I bought my 3DS for and, like, got a big giant SD card for it was because I never, ever planned to go to a store. I think I own, even my Wii U, I only own one physical game, and that's specifically Mario Kart 8. And only because it was a little bit cheaper on physical, because it was still full price on that. Nintendo doesn't.
That's also one of the weird things about digital versus physical.
Yeah.
Is it'll stay the same?
Well, again, again, it all depends on the marketplace. And again, that's the big fear is that, you know, we're like, well, what the discounted games like that. I agree, that's a big fear.
Yeah.
I think that's starting to become less and less that, especially with these big consoles.
A lot of places are doing sales every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, because they're starting to realize how effective that can be and how, you know, to have, like, you know, Summer of Gaming or whatever. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we could totally make a sale, whatever.
Like a lot of places are like, here's a Capcom day and here's some Capcom games that are on sale.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more that's the case. And so, again, we are starting to get to...
I just remember one of the other reasons I love physical copies is that new game smell.
It is fucking, a nice smell.
Oh,
a nice
my God. It's orgasmic every time I do
also,
it.
Also, I think I'm going to discuss this. Is it Crackdown 3 that's coming out?
Yes.
This is similar to like SimCity where, I mean, if the servers go away, you never get to play again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This one's even, I mean, it's probably in the same category, but it's definitely strange. That one, it doesn't even really matter that you own the game. It's all the rendering's done outside
the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish we weren't going this way. Like, it just,
a lot of people are worried about the future, not even just because of that, also because what happens if just the DLC's just gone?
Well, it's just
like the Mass Effect 3, where the Mass Effect series like relies on all this other extra.
I think the question goes, and I think ultimately it really boils down to, and you know, the same fear kind of happens in film as well, is that the idea like we're not preserving film, we're not doing this, whatever.
Oh, I don't see DVDs and Blu-rays ever going away for some reason.
Well,
but I see games going away, physical games.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I do see physical games going away. I do see physical movies going too.
I actually see it the way we see with that books are doing right now. Books are very much like. Like, everyone's going very digital with them.
Yeah.
Because, like, my phone can hold, like, the equivalent...
Yes.
Of a library.
What's right there.
Or if not more.
With barely holding any... barely taking any space.
Yeah,
exactly. Honest. Whereas, like, but we are stubborn kind of people where we enjoy having our display of our books or our games or whatever.
Well, because I think almost like from that...
And like, I love that.
It's funny because I think a lot of it from that is almost that it becomes a status symbol. And it's funny, you talk about books, and as you pointed back there, I'm thinking of the actual... This is fucking much of an English major I am. I'm thinking of a moment from The Great Gatsby where in the actual book itself, they're looking at Gatsby's kind of bookshelf. And some guy's like, they're real. Because at that point in time, books were fucking expensive and they were a status symbol. And you could kind of put fake things like that.
It still kind of is. Like, games are kind of like that now.
Yeah. Again, I don't...
Like, I can walk... Yeah. Like, yeah, when I walk
how
into...
How cool would it be to show people your digital collection?
Yeah, when I walk into, like, someone's house and then, like... And if they have, like, a bookshelf full of, like, every game they've owned, I'm just gonna be like, it's fucking beautiful. Like, I'm just in love. Yeah, like, seconds.
You see something digitally on a screen, like, that person owns it digitally?
Like, yeah, it means you show nothing. Me your Steam library, I'm like, that's cool. Look at all that shit you got on there.
I just do the math in my head.
You laid it out like in like a physical kind of. I'm like, wow, look at all this shit. So cool.
I am fine. I'm fine ultimately with.
I got kind of loud there.
No. I'm ultimately fine with not having physical games. I mean, for me personally, because
there's nothing wrong with it though.
I do understand where it's needed, and I understand that. But it's one of those things. I'm just like, I can't. I stopped long ago, and there's never
like I said, nothing wrong
it's,
with it.
It's. It becomes more of a hassle to like, oh fuck, I go to GameStop.
Well, the worst part,
GameStop and things like that.
The reason it becomes a hassle even later on in life is when you have to move.
Yes. That's sort of why.
Like, when I used to have a lot of books. I used to have a shit ton of books. And then I had to move.
And you're like, fuck
And
this.
Then I'm like, this thing is heavy as fuck.
Yeah, fuck this.
There's a half price down the road.
I'm going to sell these or donate them.
And if I ever want them back, they're probably like $3.
Yeah, like, they're probably by the time I want them, they may be under public domain and
exactly.
Stuff like,
I ended up just getting, like, it happens. Like, I think the only reason I've never done it with games is just that for some games, I just... Like, I enjoy having that physical disc. Plus, they're not as heavy as, say, a book kind of thing. But one of these days, it's going to get to that point.
Yeah, so like we're almost out of time, but I did want to mention one other thing that you pinned. I know you pinned a whole bunch of stuff, and you only read about half the stuff you pinned.
Yes, I read the article. I like to throw things against the wall.
I kid, Charles.
Yeah, we get it, Charles.
I kid.
We kid, yeah. We love you, Charles.
But you pinned something that I didn't even quite know about.
Which one?
Specifically from a historical piece of gaming history that I had no idea from Tatio. I had no clue that... What's funny is that, like,
what
everything...
What
is that? So, Tatio, this is a weird historical thing that it looks like... who was it that wrote the article? Nintendo Life did. And Nintendo Life, of course, one of the big guys that handle a lot of the Nintendo stuff.
I really
stuff
like
that.
Nintendo Life.
Yeah, they're out... I think they're out of the UK or Europe.
They're
I know
good.
They're out of Europe because I tend to talk about the Europe
they
stuff
like that.
They
have good content.
Yeah, they have really good
it's
content.
It's not clickbaity.
And stuff like that. Oh, interesting. That's already coming up there. But in any case, so they had an article talking about... one of Tatio's failed systems called the WowWow.
I've never heard of this.
So let me pull the audience. We'll pull you guys really quick. And if the audience there in the chat room is watching live, paying attention, feel free to chime on in. How many of you have heard of the Satellaview?
The which one?
No.
Exactly.
What did you say? I heard about it 4 months ago.
Okay. So I just found out about this a long time ago. It's been in my history bank. So the Satellaview...
It blew my mind when I found out what it was.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew about this well. So, Teleview was something Nintendo had put out in Japan, where the idea being that you would have this sort of cartridge there. It'd hook up to a satellite. Satellite would beam down the game data, and you could play the game.
It was really cool.
Sega TV.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which
was over the cable. That was
right. But the way they did it also there was that they had this, and because it was also part of a satellite music channel, they actually did a really cool kind of radio play with Legend of Zelda. Like, you actually had this specific Zelda game you could play that came out that you'd have to, like, you know, play the game at certain points in time, and if you played it at this time, you could hear the radio show at the same time. And it was like a radio play of Zelda. It's kind of this weird part of Nintendo.
Just sounds really cool the more I found out about it.
Yeah, no, I knew about this long ago.
Like, it was basically like a blank cartridge that almost was like a USB, basically.
It had memory and whatnot.
And it was like you rented essentially. You could rent games off of it.
It was definitely
cool
a piece of sort of weird.
If that was here, I would have used the shit out of it.
X-Modem in the chat room says, yep, heard of it. I assume that's he's talking about Zelda, which funny. He's named X-Modem, and X-Modem is also the name of a older thing.
Was that an SNES cartridge?
I had that.
That didn't I'm amazed you have that.
Like, three people had it, and you were not one of those people.
I had it many years ago.
Oh,
we got rid of it, like, years later.
Thank God you did, because you were, like, the second person that probably bought it.
Yeah, we had one.
And it's like, and you just, like, try to play a game, and you're like, oh, that's right, lag.
Yeah. We played, fuck, it was one of the NBA Jams.
You played NBA Jam.
You played one of the
first
NBA Jams
edition,
over
whatever, yeah.
My fucking profile name was, like, Star Wars or some
that's
shit.
Okay. You were, like, the fifth person to add it.
Well, no one believes me that it existed.
I know it exists. I know it exists.
It blows my
because
mind
it's in
that
my
anyone
Nintendo,
knows what
no,
it exists.
No, I know it exists because it was Nintendo Power. I know my, you know,
we have
my
one.
Video
we
game
sold it
history.
At a garage sale.
That's why I found this so peculiar that I didn't know this
I finally
bit
know
of
what it's called, though, because, we sold it at a garage sale, like, 10 years ago.
I think it was, like, X-Band or X-Modem or something like that.
Yeah,
but some,
it was many
like
years
that.
Ago.
We'll look up the official name, but it's X
Holy
something.
Shit.
But, yeah, I know what it is. You don't have to explain. I'm just amazed that you had it because, like, literally a handful of people in the States had it. And by say a handful of people in the States, I mean, like, it was out. It was a thing that you could purchase.
I'm just glad I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy. It exists. There was a modem for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System and the Genesis that allowed
really
you
cool.
to play games remotely over a certain network, and you had to pay per hour. tower because it was all the bullshit of the dial-up days.
My brother is on about it.
Yeah, no, it exists. It was a real thing. Oh, it was a piece of shit.
Yeah, it was
terrible. I'm surprised you bought it.
Yeah, my brother bought it.
It's okay. I'm surprised anyone
had it, yeah.
I'm so surprised.
And no one believed me. Oh, my God, I'm so happy. You have no idea how great that is to know that someone knows that this thing existed and doesn't think I'm fucking crazy.
No, you're not crazy. This is why when you put that article there, I was like, I had not heard of this. I've heard of every other one except for this one. Yeah. It's so funny.
This blows my mind.
Well, it's so funny to know about this because I knew about this to tell you, and I was reading like, oh, it's like that. It was supposed to be this kind of thing. They just couldn't figure it out either because Nintendo had it as well, and it just didn't really work too well. Yeah. It had some really cool concepts and things like that. But again, this is X-Man, X-Man in the chat room says X-Man. Thank you for the correction.
Yes, thank you.
But I guess you were not going fucking insane.
Yeah, I tried telling people in high school, they just not believe me.
Yeah, it's okay. It's one of those weird things that you don't think about.
Oh, I thought about it all the time.
It's okay. I love how you're just like, someone believes me.
There it is. Oh, my God.
I know what it is. You don't have to go over this. Every bit of thing is we already know what it is. Like,
suck it, Albert. Told you, you motherfucker. Fuck you.
You felt resentment for this.
Because they kept calling me out. They were like, that's fucking stupid, Mike. No one would make such a fucking thing.
It was fucking stupid.
It was dumb as shit.
But someone made the fucking thing.
It was I kept telling them it's a purple cartridge. Yep. I played NBA Jam against some random dude in Chicago.
Yep.
It was a bullshit lag.
Yep.
Online gaming existed.
Yeah. No, yeah. Online
but my friends just didn't believe me.
You know, because ultimately that was the, like, that was the early days of I'll put it this way. When X-Band was a thing and you were doing PC internet gaming, ISDN was the shit. I'll put it, you know, an ISDN line was like top of the line.
I think I've heard of Brushwood talking about that.
Like, yeah.
Like, was but, it like something that was like $100 a month?
Yeah. Or? Like that was the thing. And so when that came out, it was like, we're going to use dial-up. I'm just like, this is stupid. And it's funny because it failed very quickly, but it had its own like profile system, its own kind of email thing.
I remember it
had everything like that. But anyways, back to the
I forgot my password, which is one of the reasons we sold it.
I just love that you're like completely
I'm all fucking excited. I'm all giddy.
But anyways, so the Wow Wow was, again, it was sort of like the sale of it, which he beamed it to satellite. And again, I had no idea this was the case.
I didn't know this existed.
It completely failed. But it's interesting kind of reading the article about how this, again, it was that one bit of history that I had not known, and now I can put that in my pointless memory bank of like, well, before the Satellaview came out, there was this, and this was a Tatio thing, because Tatio was a company that's, I mean, they're part of now the Square Enix conglomerate of Doom. But they were big. I mean, I
thought they were just a straight up gaming, not hardware company.
They were straight up gaming for sure. Okay. I mean, like, well, like, hardware to the point of like they made arcade hard, like they made arcade.
Okay,
titles.
I guess.
I mean, like Bubble Bobble, for example, was a Tatio game.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I played Operation Wolf and things like that. So I'm well aware of that company.
Yeah, I just didn't know about. I didn't know they made a console.
One of my all time favorite games, I guess by Tatio, is actually a Neo Geo game. Specifically, Puzzle Bobble or Bust a Move in the version. The US version, I always call it
Puzzle Bobble.
I love Puzzle Bobble. Puzzle Bobble is like.
I'm just bad at puzzle games.
I wouldn't consider them a puzzle game.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like puzzle combat or puzzle fighter and all those things.
Wait, we got to let Roberto
sing.
He's already singing for us.
No, I already finished it. But
actually, I want to hear it again, though. I'm just kidding.
It's okay. I can say whatever the point is. But regardless of that. I'm so glad that you now feel vindicated.
I feel vindicated. I'm so fucking happy.
Man. I am. I'm so glad.
Well, we have completely run out of our hour of time.
Well, son of a gun.
Michael, Charles, as always, thank you guys for being on the show. Charles, tell people where they find you online these days.
Find me on Twitter at Charles Rubeck and send me a tweet, please.
Yeah, send him a tweet. He wants people to say
I need interaction.
He craves it.
Crave it with my loins.
If he doesn't, he will get sad. Sad, sad panda. What about you, Michael? Where can people find you these days?
You can find me on the Twitters at MichaelXRojas. Sometimes you can find me on my friend's gaming YouTube channel, Late to Let's Play. And sometimes you can, back in the 90s, you could find me on X-Band.
As Star Wars.
As the only guy. The only
person in Del Rio or Texas, apparently,
you know,
who had
funny,
one.
America.
I bet you the guy in Chicago is the guy who took the screenshot from Nintendo Power.
It exists.
It exists. You don't have to lie.
I'm so glad someone else knows what this thing is.
Just ask me about anything.
So happy.
Usually, if anything happened on a con,
I almost forgot about it.
Okay.
Until one of you guys brought it up, it just hit me like it was like a fucking Vietnam flashback.
And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitter. If you want to actually talk to us here as a kind of collective group, you can hit us on Twitter at JumpPointPod. We watch that pretty religiously. Of course, you can check out our previous episodes at CosmicRadio.tv/JumpPoint. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes. We're pretty much everywhere you want to be. And if you'd like, you can catch us live at 6:30 p.m. on Sundays here on DiamondClub.tv.
That's 6:30 Central.
6:30 p.m. Central, correct.
I'm bad with time zones.
Eastern, 5:30 Mountain, 4:30 Pacific.
Nice.
I live in Texas. Where is this? I'm kidding.
We're the Central time zone. I forget what... I
legitimately didn't know that
for
like years.
I think
mine
is 5 currently, the GMT offset. I have to really check.
I think it is my time.
But that's it for today. But until next time, we'll talk more. As always, we end the show with...
Sproing!